Shoftim Perek Yud. Vayakum acharei Avimelech lehoshia et Yisrael, Tola ben Pua ben Dodo ish Yisachar. Post Avimelech. We are now in the post Avimelech era.
That went fast.
Avimelech was only 3 years, and we wanted to get out of Avimelech as fast as we possibly could. So, post Avimelech. Vayakum acharei Avimelech lehoshia et Yisrael. Not only we post Avimelech, but the next Shofet came to save Israel. That is a unique phrase. We don't find it elsewhere. I think it's a contrast to Avimelech, because Avimelech, although he's in the book of Shoftim, it's hard to say that he ever saved Israel from anything other than himself by doing us the favor of his demise. Then we were saved. But Avimelech, but the next shofet is a real shofet. Lohoshiat Yisrael, Tola ben Pua ben Dodo, Ish Issachar, from the tribe of Issachar. Again, a reference to his tribal connection. We'll see that in a moment. V'hu Yoshev b'Shamir b'Har Ephraim. So we know a tribal connection. We have a geographic connection. It's interesting that he's originally from Issachar, but he's living in Har Ephraim. People migrate. Vayishpot Yisrael 23 shana, judged Israel for 23 years. Vayamot vayikaver b'Shamir, died and he was buried in Shamir. That's the story of Tola ben Pua. Clear? Sums it all up. Wait, it gets better. Next, Vayakom Acharav Ya'ir HaGiladi. Post Tola ben Pua, we have Ya'ir HaGiladi. Ya'ir from the Gilad. Vayishbot et Yisrael 22 shana. Judged Israel for 22 years. Vayhi lo 30 banim rochvim al 30 ayarim u30 ayarim lahem. 30 sons riding on 30 donkeys over 30 cities. There's a very powerful pun, play on words, in the language of the Rishonim, Lashon Nefelo Lashon, Ir and Ayir. Ir is a city, Ayir is a donkey. Ass colt, or whatever they call it. Right. Young donkey.
A young donkey.
So they have the pun, Shloshim Rochvim al Shloshim Ayarim, riding on 30 donkeys, Ushloshim Ayarim Lahem, over 30 cities.
Cool.
Lahem Yikru Chavot Ya'ir Ad Yom Hazeh. Those cities called Chavot Ya'ir, Asher Be'eretz HaGilad. Vayamot Ya'ir Vayikaver B'Kamon. Ya'ir died, buried in Kamon. So what do we know about Tola ben Pua and Ya'ir HaGiladi?
They had a pretty long span of time.
There is a significant amount of time. One is 22 years, the other is 23 years.
Must have been peaceful if there isn't anything to write about.
On the other hand, there is Lohoshiat Yisrael. They're coming to save Israel from somebody or something. Mm-hmm. Who are they fighting against? We don't know. Mm-hmm. Where are the battles taking place?
We don't know.
It could be within. What were the sins of the people?
It could be within battles among the people.
It could be anything.
Well, we know what the sins of the people are.
Well, we haven't gotten to the next pasuk. The next pasuk is the next parasha. It's the next story, which is the introduction to Yiftach. So
yeah,
we're talking about.
They continue to do evil, which in, at least infers that they were doing evil during the time of the Shoftim.
Doesn't tell us a lot about these two Shoftim. Tola ben Pua and Ya'ir HaGiladi, we know very little about them. We know that they lived, ruled, and died.
And were buried.
And had a period of time, and had a tribal connection.
How do we know they were Shoftim even?
Well, it says.
Oh, okay. Yes. That's
it. And
you spoke something about 30. There must be some relevance to 30.
Well, the 30, we're going to see the numbers change We'll see the numbers are less significant as much as the size of the numbers, the multiple of numbers. The 30, we'll see. Well, the 30 cities and the 30 donkeys. That's the 30 cities and the 30 donkeys are interconnected, both not only linguistically but conceptually. We'll see that. We're going to look at that as a separate piece. But
is that your phone? Something's moving.
What's the chavot yair? I mean,
yeah, chavot yair is chavot yair.
It's been there before.
Yeah, chavot yair. We're also going to talk about chavot yair. Is mentioned in Sefer in Chumash. It's mentioned in Bamidbar. It's mentioned in Tvarim. Why suddenly we have new cities called chavot yair? That's also in my notes to get to. So we'll have to. We're putting all the questions on the table. Not many of them are we going to be able to get to today, but these are the questions we're going to have to get to. What are the 30 cities and the 30 donkeys? What are chavot yair? Why don't we have a lot of information about these tribes? And it's that piece of it that I really want to focus on today. So we're going to come back to these two shoftim momentarily, but to complete the picture, we need to look at three more shoftim. So if we average a shofet every 3 months till now, we're going to average 5 shofet in a day at this point. Skip from the next pasuk, which is the beginning of shofet, of Yiftach. So we're going to skip Yiftach. We'll come back to this. We will come back to Yiftach in depth. But we're going to skip now for a moment all of Yiftach, which is Perek, end of Perek Yud, Perek Yud Aleph, and the beginning of Perek Yud Bet. We're going to jump to Perek Yud Bet Pasuk Zayin. So what we've seen Tola Ben Pua Ya'ira Giladi, Yiftach was skipping, he's next. And then we look at the following three paragraphs. Yiftach dies in Perek Yud Bet Pasuk Zayin. Yamot Yiftach Agiladi Vayikaver Baregilad. Starting from Pasuk Chet. Vayishpot Acharav et Yisrael Ivtzan mi Bet Lechem. Post Yiftach Ivtzan from Bet Lechem. Vayihi lo Shloshim Banim Ushloshim Banot. There we go again.
Twice as good.
30 sons and 30 Ushloshim Banot Shilach Achutza. Ushloshim banot tevi levanav min achutz. So he's got 30 sons and 30 daughters. Now he's got 30 daughters-in-law and 30 sons-in-law.
Big family.
That's a lot of shoes.
Whoa. Okay, so now he's got 60 total, right? 60
children
couples, 30 Wait. Sons, 30 60 daughters. Children, 60 and couples. So now he's got 120. He's got a virtual Knesset.
He sent out 30 daughters. Does that mean he married them off?
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Okay.
And he took in 30 daughters.
And he took in 30 daughters. So that's 30 chuppas.
So it's 120, right?
Does that chutz mean that his tribe? Or
no, it means you can marry. The daughters go with the sons. In a patriarchal context, the daughters move in to the society, to the families of the husband. Vayishpot et Yisrael sheva shanim. Yitzan from Bet Lechem judges Israel for 7 years. Vayamot Ivtzan Vayikaver Bevet Lachem. He dies and is buried in Bet Lachem.
Isn't he supposed to be Boaz?
So we're going to get to that Medrash too. The whole discussion about whether Ivtzan is Boaz. If he's Boaz, he's the story of Ruth. If the story of Ruth, then his 30 sons and 30 daughters aren't mentioned in the story of Ruth anywhere. But we'll come back to that issue too. So I have number three. Ivtzan from Bet Lechem. Number four. Vayishpot acharav et Yisrael Elon hazvuloni. Elon from Zvulun. Vayishpot et Yisrael 10 shanim. 10 years. Vayamot Elon hazvuloni vayikaver ba'ayalon be'eretz Zvulun. So what do we know about Elon hazvuloni? We know he 10 years. We know he's from Shevet Zvulun. We know that he judged Israel. We know that he died.
And, he probably didn't have
and we know that he was buried. I have no idea how many children he has.
But it has no lineage.
Perhaps
he was a son of
Low lineage. No lineage.
We do know that he's not from an Ibsan, though. Most likely because of his different tribal connection.
Ibsan? No, he's not connected to Ibsan at all. None of the Shoftim are connected to each other except for Rabbi Melech and Gidon. Vayishpat acharav et Yisrael Avdon ben Hillel ha-pir atoni. I'm not sure what Shevet Piraton is, but
now we don't even know the
comes city, place. Name of a city, name of the place, Piraton. Vayhi lo arba'im banim u'shloshim b'nei banim. Gidon style, many. Gidon style.
She was talking about shoes, she's talking about tuition. What did
they just needed people to take care of the sheep. What did they...
The standard was set by
Gidon.
70. So they're all trying
that's
to reach
it.
That's right. Avdon ben Hillel gets closest because he has Arba'im banim u'shloshim b'nei banim, 40 sons and 30 grandsons. So he gets to 70, although in two generations.
The sons weren't doing their job. Less than one apiece.
Rochvim al shivim ayarim. There we go. Riding over, riding on 70 donkeys. Vayishpot et Yisrael shmone shanim. 8 years. Vayamot avdom ben Hillel piratoni. Vayikaver bepiraton be'eretz Ephraim behar ha'amaleki. Dies buried in Piraton in the land Eretz Ephraim on Mount Amalek.
It would seem these guys are older because they die after a much shorter time.
You're assuming they die of old age.
Yeah,
right. Oh, okay.
I don't make that assumption at all.
Okay.
Nobody. I don't think anybody in Sefer Shoftim died of old age.
It takes a lot of time to
Gidon
might.
Gidon might.
Six months.
Yeah, yeah. But all the kids and everything.
Usually, that's possible.
Can't you assume? I mean, you
can assume anything.
Well, yes. But can't you assume that the judges who judged for 23 years were younger,
or that they died of?
Right. Okay.
The problem here is that I can make all kinds of assumptions there's no information. There's virtually nothing here. That's all it says. Where they ruled, where they died, and where they were buried.
Do you attach any significance to the fact that we have Shoftim from a lot of the different
Shoftim? That's exactly the subject we're going to address right now. That's exactly the issue. All right, take one of these. Pass them down.
I read that.
What is that?
She had two children with two surrogates, but at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Two children. From two different surrogates. They're biological children.
Okay. What you have here on the chart that I have, does everybody get a copy? There's two sides to that page.
Here's an extra. Did everyone get? Sure.
And here's the second one. If you look at the chart, what I've given you is all the computers, it's very easy to do. This is basically all the text that we just read today. So it's each shofet and all the information that the Navi gives us. The reason I've laid it out in this fashion is because it's a visual description of the information that we have. And you can see how structured this part of the book is. Essentially, each shofet is following a it's almost like a template for each one. And the template contains various pieces of information, some of it relevant in each case, some of that template relevant per shofet, but essentially the template is the name of the shofet, the tribal or city connection of where they geographic connection of where they lived, the number of years they judged Israel, where they died, where they were buried, and in at least three cases, some mysterious description of the number of children, grandchildren, sons-in-law, daughters-in-law, donkeys, and cities, all in one formulation. So if you read it across, you can actually see the parallels for each one. Tola ben Pua, Vayakom Achrei Avim Melech L'Shiyat Yisrael, Tola ben Pua ben Dodo Ishi Sachav, Uhu Yoshev B'Shemir Bahar Ephraim. Reading across, Vayakom Achrei Avim Ira Giladi, Vayishbot Achrei Avim Yisrael Livtzah Mibit Lechem, Vayishbot Achrei Avim Yisrael Lona Zvulani, Vayishbot Achrei Avim Yisrael Avdom Ben Ilala Piratoni. The number of years each ruled for, Vayishbot at Yisrael, 22 years, 23 years, 22 years, Yivtzan from Beit Lechem, 7 years, Ilona Zvolani, 10 years, Avdom ben Hillel from Ephraim, 8 years. They all, in the last line, died and buried in their particular location. And then in the three cases, Ya'ira Giladi, Yivtzan, and Avdon, we also have a description of donkeys, cities, children,
grandchildren,
whatever the significance of that is. Certain characteristics of this. All of this, by the way, sandwiched between Gidon on the one side, Shimshon on the other, with Yiftach in the middle. And I've skipped Yiftach intentionally, but with the exception of Yiftach, this is a period of Shoftim in between Gidon Avimelech, or I should say post Avimelech, before Shimshon. So, how do I make sense of the limited information that we have over each Shofet, especially when you compare it to the stories that we have seen, Otniel ben Knaz, Eir ben Geresh, Devorah, Barak, Gidon. We haven't seen Yiftach, but we know the story of Yiftach, and of course Shimshon. Multi-chapter stories compared to three verses for each one. How do we make sense of that?
They're not significant.
So one way of looking at it is that they are not significant. Not significant.
So that implies.
That's what I wrote.
No, but I'm saying. No, but I'm saying.
Please, there you go. So we can append this to the.
No, what I'm saying is, though, that they were not so significant, obviously.
Right. They're less significant by virtue of, to use a journalistic term, the number of column inches devoted to each of the shoftim, which is so insignificant compared to the others. Which means, nothing dramatic
exactly.
happens. Could be that there's absolutely nothing significant happening.
You really don't know what's happening.
We don't necessarily know that they're good shoftim, bad shoftim, indifferent shoftim. What the status of the people is.
What occurred?
It's a tabula rasa. It's virtually blank.
Yeah.
So, if you have nothing good to say, don't say anything at all. Why do I need to mention them at all, per se? If there's nothing significant happening, why are they even there?
Is it just to fill in the time?
Maybe there's something significant
so we know
to naming all the shoftim.
There might be something significant to naming all the shoftim, and I'm going to come back to that in a moment. I think that's a key piece.
Is it leading up to something that you need the background information?
Possibly. It's a description. Well, let's figure out what information we have. What information are we told from which we can kind of derive a conclusion about the period of time? If you look at the number of years, we're talking about 20, 45, 55, 70 years. If you add Yiftach 6 years to the middle, 75 years plus, there's 18 years and plus 7 years. So, and this doesn't include the periods of history of oppression of foreign power in between, which sometimes it gets included in the years of the Shofet, sometimes gets included in between. So we're looking at a period of history of close to 100 years, summarized in 8-10 psukim. So clearly they are less significant than Yiftach Shimshon. We're not going to Gidon. We're not going to derive much from the personalities of the Shoftim, from their stories, from their battles, from their... Of the Shofet itself, we know nothing. We know they lived, we know where they lived, we know when they lived, and we know...
We know their Shevet.
We know their Shevet, and we know something about their family life. In at least three cases we see, and we can extrapolate from those three, that there's an attempt to have a proliferation of families, a proliferation of children. And somehow that connects to donkeys and cities. Right?
Can we infer also that if they were trying to establish any kind of lineage or dynasty, it didn't work, but with the cases of where
right. I think that that's really the piece of it, is that you're... The notion of the cities, forgetting the donkeys for a second, we'll come back to the donkeys, but the notion of the cities certainly seems to indicate some attempt by each of these shoftim to establish 30 children over 30 cities. What does a shofet having 30 city children over 30 cities mean?
More
yeah,
area.
Controlling. Power, leadership, political leadership, you're spreading your net of the family dynasty further and further afield, along the lines of what borrowed from the image from the picture of Gidon, who had 70 sons, and although we never saw any effort by those 70 sons to reign or to rule, we did have Avimelech and Shechem, and do you want them to rule and me to rule, and you have some confusion as to what the role of these 70 sons were to be. In the subsequent generations, I think that confusion gets resolved. 70 sons is for the purpose of ruling over 70 cities. You could have many more sons, you could have many more families, but the ones that are relevant to this discussion are the ones that he's putting into various cities and various places in an effort to establish almost a dynastic kind of leadership, an effort that clearly fails because there's no dynasty in any of these cases. Each shofet is geographically apart, tribally apart, and we move from one to the other in great, with great speed and great succession. So whatever effort to create dynasty post-Gidon there was, clearly fails. And that may also be part of the message at this period of these psukim or these shoftim are trying to tell us. In other words, what I'm suggesting to you is that the climate of Sefer Shoftim immediately post Gidon / Avimelech changes dramatically. The atmosphere of the period of history changes. There's very little about the glory and the mastery and the personality and of the Shofet. It's all about leadership, tribal leadership in various locations, establishing attempts to establish dynasties, large families. It's a very different conversation than we've been having up until now. You following?
Yeah.
You turn the page over, then I can show you this really quite dramatically. I've divided the book of Shoftim into two groups. From Otniel ben Knaz to Gidon, and from Avimelech to Shimshon. These shoftim from Avimelech to Shimshon are often referred to as the minor shoftim, the same way we have Nevi'im Rishonim and Nevi'im Achronim, although they're Nevi'im Achronim and not because they're necessarily minor and significant, but here they're called minor shoftim, or the shoftim Akhtanim, not because they're less significant per se, but because there's very little information that we have about them. But there's two things that stand out very quickly just from looking at this map, at this list. How many years did each shofet lead / rule for? I'm at the top part of the page.
Between 40 and
80. Between 40, well, there's only one example of 80. We talked about Ehud Ben Gera being 80 years, and the fact that Shamgar Ben Anat has no reference whatsoever to his years, so we thought maybe it's a double period. But they're all multiples of 40. Well, Avner Ben Knaz, Ehud Ben Gera, Shamgar Ben Anat, Devora, and Gidon, they're all multiples of 40. 40 represents
generation.
A generation. Habaim Shana Kut Bedor. 40 years represents a generation. Which means that I don't necessarily know that Otniel ben Knaz, Ehud ben Gera, Shamgar, Devorah, and Gidon all lived, ruled, and reigned for exactly 40 years, and on the 40th anniversary they died. What it does mean, that would be an interesting statistical anomaly, what it does mean is that whatever role they played in the leadership of their people, their impact, the peace in the land of Israel, Vatashkot Aretz, that whole genre, lasted for a complete generation. I think I said to you, I mentioned last week that the phrase Vatishkota Aretz Arba'im Shana, the land was quieted for 40 years, that phrase disappears post-Gidon. There is no longer ever in the rest of the Sefer a phrase the land was quiet. I don't think the land was quiet at all at this point forward. If you have shoftim that are 3 years, 23 years, 22 years, 6 years, 7 years, 10 years, 8 years, 20 years, compared to shoftim that are 40 years, 80 years, 40 years, and 40 years, politically, what's changed?
From stability to instability.
You go from stability to instability, exactly right.
So wouldn't you think there'd be more written then, if you're saying that? Wouldn't you think there'd be more to write about in a way?
Depending on what you're writing. But if you're writing about the success of the shofet, if you're writing about the personality of the dynamic personality of leadership, if you're writing about the relationship with God, if you're writing about the themes that we've been seeing up until now, there's very little here. There are two major stories, Yiftach and Shimshon.
And that's the reverse.
And they're mirror images of Ehud Ben Gera and Shamgar and Gidon. We'll see that. But and maybe that's why Yiftach's in the middle. Maybe that's why Yiftach's in the middle, to kind of, well, number one, to divide, and number two, to kind of as a paradigm. Of this period of Shoftim, we have one example. Here's the story of Yiftach, and extrapolate from there. Maybe. I don't think it's a positive description. I don't think the instability that's reflected in the brief period of the Shoftim is a positive reflection on Jewish history. Agreed? I think that it's a reflection of political instability, division, greater divisions between the tribes. If Devorah, think about it like this, if Devorah was a Shofet who tried to gather together, galvanize all of the tribes of Israel together, successfully or unsuccessfully, but to a large extent, her influence and her role was measured by the breadth of the tribes of Israel that were prepared to come and follow her. Gidon, whose story was how many tribes he was able to gather together, the shlichim that he sent out, the messengers, the tribes from Naphtali and Zvulun and Asher and Menashe, how many tribes was he able to pull together in a united effort? There's no united effort here. Every shofet is
singular
and tribally linked. The fact that we are told by each one where they lived, what tribe they lived in, what city they died in and what city they were buried in, I think is a reflection of this kind of division between the tribes. Whatever connection there was in the days of Devorah and in the days of Gidon has been lost. It's each tribe
for itself. So that when the Shoftim is telling us about these various Shoftim, they're Maybe he's just telling us about what's happening in that area of that particular shofet, not what's happening among all the shvatim.
Correct. I think that's very true, that the shoftim are being described in geographic locations because we are told what's happening in each shevet. We don't necessarily know what's happening in the other shoftim contemporary too. Taking that idea one step further, we don't even know if these shoftim are concurrent. It says, Vayakom Acharav. Vayakom Acharav tells me that it's sequential. But the fact that they're in so many different geographic regions would indicate that there could very well be significant overlap between these shoftim. There's no reason why I can't have a shofet in Beit Lechem at the same time that I have a shofet in Ephraim.
Especially if they were not united.
Right? Which is one of the reasons why the chronology of Sefer Shoftim is very hard to work through. The actual chronology of who is when. I've got a bracket chronology. I know the beginning of the story, and I know the end of the story. I have certain anchor points. Yiftach refers to 300 years from Yetziat Mitzrayim. The Beit HaMikdash is built 480 years from Yetziat Mitzrayim, and I can work back to the period of Shlomo and David. But from the beginning of Sefer Shoftim, really from Gidon until Shmuel, the ability to put the information to exact geographic location, the time frame, exact chronological time frame, is very hard. I've heard the theory suggested that even Yiftach and Shimshon are contemporary, even though the Navi describes them sequentially. There, at least, I have textual evidence to support the idea that they're parallel.
But here you have more than 300 years, and you say the Navim didn't last for more than, you said 200, something like that. If we count that, you have, it's too long for what you said.
No.
So it's
what?
If you have that in sequence, you have 300 years.
Right.
And you say that...
Yiftach mentions 300 years. Yiftach is number 9.
And what did he mention? What the number?
Yiftach talks about 300 years from Yetziat Mitzrayim. Yeah, no, Yiftach chronology. That phrase will come to when we get to Yiftach. That's okay. So that's one piece of it. The instability, the geographic division. I think that's part of the message. All of this is post Gidon. Talked about the fact that Gidon is kind of this division between the book. You see this division geographically, you see it chronologically, the age of the Shoftim. It's one of the reasons I suggested that the assumption that the Shoftim died in of old age. I don't think so. Periods of political instability don't lend themselves to leaders dying in office.
We don't even know if the Shoftim were fighting among themselves. I mean, that's certainly a possibility.
Right, they could be fighting amongst themselves. We have certain references to civil wars taking place. We know very little. It's quite possible that Yiftach dies. We'll see the story of Yiftach's death. But other than that, they could be dying in battle, in which case it would lend to more political instability. The short of it is, there's more we don't know than we do know. And what we are told is limited to the political instability of the period, the geographic divisiveness of the period, and the efforts to try to model Gidon in the establishment of a dynasty that fail. That's essentially the three major pieces. I want to come back to Alan's point, which was the issue of the description of all the different tribes and the shoftim from each one. It's not an accident that each one of these shoftim seems to come from a different geographic region. And here Chazal point to this, and the question is whether that's a positive or a negative. Chazal point to it in a number of interesting sources. Starting with the Gemara in Sukkah, source number 3. The Gemara says, "Ein lacha shevet v'shevet mi Yisrael shelo ha'emid mimenu shofet." There was no tribe of Israel that didn't have arise from within it a shofet. That reads as a positive description or a negative description. How does the tone of the Gemara read? Ein lecha shevet mi, ein lecha kol shevet v'shevet mi Yisrael, shelo ha'emid mimenu shofet.
That's like a reprimand.
Equality.
It's not good. I mean, it's
That's
bad.
Interesting. I would have read it the exact opposite.
No, I don't think it's good.
You have always to need a leader, so it's normal.
Remember that the way Chazal describes shoftim is a kind of quasi bridge between political and spiritual leader. So Chazal talk about the fact that every shevet had a shofet. I think actually they meant it very positively. They meant it very positively. They meant it that each shevet had the quality, the ability to establish for itself a shofet. I think we have read into it a negativity, which I think is correct in the text.
But I'm going to say, when you hear all the instability and everything,
right.
I take it very
negatively. In the pshat of the text, I think it's a negative. In the language of Chazal, remember that you have to separate the midrashic language and the textual language. In the language of Chazal, I think they meant it as a positive. And look at Rashi. Shelo ha'emid shofet. What does it mean that every shevet had a shofet? Moshiach et Yisrael. A shofet is somebody who saved Israel. Every shevet had somebody who saved Israel. Otan shayu mishemet Yehoshua v'ad Shmuel shemashach Shaul ha'melech. From the days of Yehoshua until Shaul, who anointed the first king of Israel. And he tells you who they are. Yehoshua me'Ephraim. Ehud mi Binyamin, Gidon mi Menashe, Hare mi Bnei Rachel. So the daughters of Rachel, the sons of Rachel are covered. Right? Ephraim, Menashe, and Binyamin. Each one has a shofet. Shimshon mi Dan, Barak mi Kedesh mi Naphtali. By the way, proof to my thesis, to the theory that I suggested when we learned Barak and the stories of Devorah, that the Shofet is not Devorah. The Shofet was Barak. Who's listed in Rashi's list? Barak. Interesting. Harei b'nei Bilha. Ivtzan ze Boaz mi Yehuda. That's based on the Medrash that says Ivtzan is Boaz, which would put him in Bethlehem Yehuda. We're going to talk about that in a moment. Eli mi Levi. Eli is a Shofet at the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, and he is a Kohen, which means it is from Shevet Levi. Tola ben Pua, Yisachar. Elon Azvulani, Mizvulun. Elu, Mefurashim. That's clear. Those are explicit in the text. The ones that are not explicit, Aval Otniel, V'Yiftach, V'Shamgar, V'Yair, V'Avdon, Lo Yadati Shmot Shivtehen. I'm not sure why Avdon ben Hillel HaPlatoni, who's buried in Ephraim, why shouldn't he be Ephraim? I don't know. It sounds pretty explicit. And Chavot Yair is certainly in the Gilad. So why... Yiftach is from the Gilad. So why are Yiftach and Yair not identified with tribes? Because the Gilad essentially spans three tribes. At least two. Possibly three. Gad, Menashe, maybe Reuven. So when you're from the Gilad, you could be from the other side of the Yarden, you don't necessarily know which tribe, but you're from certainly that geographic location. Umiruven Vishimon Gad Vaasher Lo Matzati Mefarash, says Rashi. I didn't find Shoftim from those tribes, so I'm confused, says Rashi. I have from most of the tribes, but if you say Kol Shevet Veshevet, I don't know, I don't see it. So that's interesting point from Rashi. So I found the following medrash in the Alkut Shimoni, which tries to fill in the blanks. Mikol hashvatim yatzu shoftim umelachim, from all the tribes of Israel, there emerged shoftim and kings. So clearly you have a positive description or an effort to there. With the exception of Umishevet Shimon Lokam Lo Shofet Velo Melech. Except for Shevet Shimon. Shimon. Why is there no Shofet Mishevet Shimon? Bishvil Achet Shasa Bezimri Bishvatim. Because of the story of Zimri, the story of Shimon. Shevet Shimon was the one that sinned with the story of Pinchas, Zimri ben Salu, the daughters of Benot Midyan. Right. Shevet Shimon was the one who was seduced by the daughters of Moab, the daughters of Midian, in the end of Parshat Balak, beginning of Parshat Pinchas. And it's one of the reasons why they were tribal territory was taken away from Shimon and given to given to Yehuda. Shimon was punished for it. And therefore the Medrash says, Lamedcha kama chamura znut. So teach us how devastating the sin of znut, or of sexual immorality, can be. It destroyed this Shevet's land, territory, leadership quality, everything. Then the Medrash lists them, and I put in the numbers, and the bold, not in the original. Otniel ben Knaz, Mishevet Yehuda. Now it's interesting, why Rashi says, Otniel, he doesn't know who he's, what tribe he's from, I have no idea. Because Otniel ben Knaz, remember the Lichus of Otniel ben Knaz? Otniel ben Knaz, Achi Kalev, Akaton Mimenu. Otniel ben Knaz is in the same family as Kalev. Remember that was back in, was way back in Sefer Yehoshua. Otniel ben Knaz, Achi Kalev, Akaton Mimenu. So Kalev is from Shevet Yehuda. Ehud ben Gera, Mishevet Binyamin. Dvora uBarak, Mahar Ephraim uMikedesh Naphtali. Formulated that way because? Why do I have two names and two tribes?
Because they work together.
Because I have two shoftim here. Right? Dvora is from? Har Ephraim. And Barak is from? Kedesh Naphtali. Gidon, Aviezer, Shevet Menashe, v'Avimelech b'no Acharav. So we have the whole discussion to whether or not we would prepare to consider Avimelech a Shofet. Tola ben Pua, Mishevet Yisachar. That, I think, is quite, that is explicit, right? Yes. Ya'ir ha-Giladi, Michavot Ya'ir. Now, Chavot Ya'ir, the Medrash says, Mishevet Menashe. V'chein Yiftach, Miyoshve Gilad. Yiftach is also from the Gilad. Yiftzan, Mibet Lechem Yehuda. Elon, Mishevet Zvulun, Elon Azvulani. Avdon Ben Hillel, Apiratoni. From the end of the story, it says, Vayikaver Bepiraton Be'eretz Ephraim. So therefore, we can assume he's Mishevet Ephraim. Shimshon is from Shevet Dan. Eli Vishmo, Mishevet Levi. And every tribe is appropriately represented.
Some twice, right?
Except Shimon, says the Medrash. Except Shimon. Am I right? Are we right? You know what happens when you take things at face value? You miss things. So every tribe is listed, right? Yehuda, Binyamin, Ephraim, Naphtali, Menashe, Yisachar, Gilad, Yehuda, Zvulun, Ephraim, Dan, Levi.
God.
Reuven? Oh, so between Reuven is not. Reuven is an interesting question. But I have two from the Gilad. So I'm prepared to put one at the combined Reuven God territorial region of the Gilad. Yiftach HaGiladi is probably from God. Maybe from Asher.
What about Asher?
Asher. What happened to Asher? What happened to Asher? He's not on the list. Correct?
He's on this chart. chart here.
No, he's not on that chart. Forget that chart. That chart doesn't exist.
Okay.
The only thing that exists is the right-hand side of that chart.
Okay, not the left-hand side. Okay.
Right? But this list in Yalkut Shimoni, he certainly doesn't appear. So if I have a shofet from every shevet, I have a mystery. What happened to Shevet Asher? So many years ago, at an RCA convention,
I found him.
That is right. Many years ago at an RCA convention, I found him. The hymn, of course, not referring to Shevet Asher or its Shofet, the hymn referring to the first time I had the schus of meeting Rav Yoav Ben Nun. The very first time he was invited to an RCA convention in the States, probably one of his first visits to the States, I don't know. And he was there, he was speaking in Hebrew, and I, at the time, I was teaching Tanakh. I had spent all my years learning from Rav Meidan. I'd never actually met Rav Yoav Ben Nun in person. And everybody was afraid to talk to him because he only spoke to him in Hebrew. And so they kind of shied away from him. So there he was sitting by himself at a table eating his meals. And so I took the opportunity and I made sure I went over and I sat down with him. And that's how I got to know him. That was our first time we actually met. The second time we met, he stood up and made a brach of Shechiyana, which he'll do every time he sees you, which is really quite a remarkable feat and sometimes a little uncomfortable. But it was anyway. That aside, I was teaching Shoftim at the time, so I started to ask him questions. And one of the questions I asked him was, I asked the question the other way around. I asked him, what is his opinion about the Midrashic identity of Ivtsan mi Bet Lechem as Boaz? The whole story of Megillat Rut revolves around Boaz. One of the shiurim that we talked about when we learned Megillat Rut at Shavuos, if you were there, I don't feel awake, but was the identity of Ivtsan as Boaz. So I asked him, what does he think? So he shared with me the following idea. He suggested that it's problematic. It could be. It's very possible. But his theory is that Ivtsan is not from Beit Lechem is not the same as Boaz from Beit Lechem, because Beit Lechem in Shevet Yehuda is not necessarily the only Beit Lechem in Tanakh. Chazal assume that Boaz and Ivtsan are the same persona because they're both from Beit Lechem. And what we don't have in Sefer Shoftim is a repeat performance. There are no two Shoftim in Sefer Shoftim from the same city. And in fact, what the Medrash is trying to suggest is that they're geographically spread over the entire country. Shared leadership, share and share alike. So from that perspective, to put Ivtsan and Boaz, both from Beit Lechem, said Chazal, must be the same person. The alternative is to assume that it's not the same Beit Lechem. Where do we see the idea that there's more than one Beit Lechem? So first of all, I'll show you one example. Take a look in Yehoshua, Perek Yutet. All I need is one example of more than one Beit Lechem for us to be able to extrapolate.
What
Perek Yutet. What pasuk? I'll tell you in a minute. Starting with pasuk Yud Zayin. Nineteen seventeen. It was a good year for something. Li Yisachar. This is the part of Sefer Yehoshua. If you remember when we learned to Yehoshua, that we kind of skimmed or skipped. Most people do. It's the list of all the tribes and the cities affiliated with each tribe. Boundaries in Tanakh are not lines on a map. When in the biblical time period, if you wanted to draw a boundary between two tribes, between two peoples, you didn't draw the boundary by drawing a line on a map. You drew the boundary by identifying all the border cities. Because unpopulated regions between cities were irrelevant. They didn't have a notion of a fictitious boundary or a line between two cities. You just had cities that were your boundary. So the tribal territory of Yisachar is defined by the cities in contained therein. Correct? Sorry, not Yud Zion. Not Yud Zion. Sorry, previous paragraph. Zvulun. Vayal Agaral Ashlishi Pasuk Yud. Vayal 10. Vayal Agaral Ashlishi Livnei Zvulun Lemishpochatam. The tribal territory of Zvulun. Vayikvu Nachlatam Ad Sarid. Vayala Gvulam Liyama Umar Allah Ufaga Bedabaset Ufaga Tanachal Asher Opnei Yokna'am. Remember Yokna'am?
Mm-hmm.
Yokna'am, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yokna'am. ושב מסריד קדמה מזרח השמש עד גבול כסלות תבור ויצא אל הדברת ועלה יפיע. All the names of different cities in the tribal region of Zvulun. Look at פסוק תדבב. וקטת ונהלל ושמרון ויד עלה ובית לחם. בית לחם? In שבט Zvulun? Clearly, Beit Lechem and Shevet Zvulun. There's no way you have to be very creative to figure out how Beit Lechem in Shevet Zvulun is anyhow way, shape, or form connected to Beit Lechem south of Yerushalayim.
Which is part of Yehuda.
Which is in Yehuda. So from this one source, clearly I know that there can be, at least potentially, more than one city in the land of Israel called Beit Lechem. In an agricultural environment, Beit Lechem means
city
of bread. What's a city of bread in an agricultural environment?
Wheat.
Farmland. Any territory that has farmland could have a city called Beit Lechem. The equivalent analogy today would be, and this is also true in Tanakh times, how many cities in Israel today begin with the word mitzpeh? Many. Right? Because anytime you build a city or a village or a town on a hill, you're going to call it
mitzpeh.
There are three different cities in Tanakh called mitzpeh. In modern times, we give it a surname. So you have Mitzpeh Rimon, then you have Mitzpeh, right? In Tanakh, it's just called Mitzpeh, but you can have more than one. You can have more than one Beit El, because any city that's going to have a temple in it is going to be called Beit El. And you can have more than one Beit Lechem. This helps resolve one of the great mysteries that I think we talked about once before, mm-hmm. which is the location of, the real location, of Kever Rachel. Remember we had this discussion about whether or not mm-hmm. Rachel Imenu is really buried in Kever Rachel and the mystery of her being buried south of Yerushalayim in Shevet Yehuda when she's the whole essence of Rachel is somehow connected to Binyamin or to Ephraim and to Yosef and Binyamin. If you take a look on the source page now, just to make life easier, I put the sources on the page. On the left-hand side of the big chart, source 6, just beneath the Al-Kachamani where we were before. On the left-hand side, you have the reference to Beit Lechem B'Shevet Zvulun. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Above it, I give you all the relevant psukim related to the story of Kever Rachel. V'tamat Rachel v'tikaver b'derech Ephrata hi Beit Lechem. Rachel is buried along the way in Beit Lechem. Yaakov himself says it. Vani bevoimi padan met alai rachel be'eretz knan b'derech ba'od kivat eretz lavo efrata ve'akbara sham b'derech efrat hi betlachem. I buried her on the road to Efrat, which is betlachem. Now, either Efrat is betlachem, and I buried her on the road to Efrat, which is betlachem, or I buried her on the road to Efrat, meaning in betlachem. In Sefer Shmuel, we find the following verse. Belechtecha hayom me'imadi, Shaul speaking to Shmuel. Sorry, Shmuel speaking to Shaul. Belechtecha hayom me'imadi, when you depart from my presence, umatzata shnei anashim, you will encounter two people, im kvurat Rachel b'gvul Binyamin. Near kever Rachel, in the territorial boundary of Binyamin. Bitzeltzach. Unless I'm very much mistaken, this text tells me that Rachel is buried in the tribal territory belonging to Shevet Binyamin. Binyamin is north of Yerushalayim, not south of Yerushalayim, which makes sense, except for the problem of Bet Lechem. But we've already established from Zvulun that it's quite possible that there's more than one city in the land of Israel called Bet Lechem. So I have Bet Lechem of Zvulun, and now I have Bet Lechem of Binyamin. David's Bet Lechem, however, has a unique title. If you look on the right-hand side of this chart, every time we find the reference to Bet Lechem, of David HaMelech, where David HaMelech comes from, we find Vahi Na'ar mi Beit Lechem Yehuda, mi Mishpachat Yehuda, story of Pesach Micha, or in Pilegesh Begiva. Vahi Be'emim Mehem U'melech Em B'Yisrael, Vahi Ish Levi Gar V'Yarkatei Har Ephraim, V'Yikach Lo Isha Pilegesh mi Beit Lechem Yehuda. This is a particularly interesting story. Here you have a person who lives in Har Ephraim, who takes a Pilegesh from a different tribe. That's part of the story, is that this wife is from a different tribe. It's part of the whole attitude and the relationship between the husband and his wife, is that she's from a different tribe. So he's actually a Levi, who lives in Har Ephraim, and he takes a wife from Beit Lechem Yehuda. If he took a wife from Beit Lechem, we wouldn't know that it's from a different tribe, because it could very well be from a Beit Lechem in Ephraim or Binyamin. David HaMelech, in Shmuel Aleph, v'David ben Ish Ephrati hazeh mi Beit Lechem Yehuda, u'shmo Yishai. The nevuot about Melech HaMashiach, v'yata Beit Lechem Ephrata, tzair liyot be'alfei Yehuda. I have more than one Beit Lechem in Tanakh, and therefore it's important to identify the Beit Lechem. If I need to know which Beit Lechem it is, I need to identify where it is. Boaz is from Beit Lechem Yehuda. So it says so, Migilat Rut. Ifzan is from Beit Lechem. But if it doesn't tell me that it's from Beit Lechem Yehuda, then there's no reason to assume that that is in fact the case. So, Rav Yorbanun said to me, it is his theory that Ifzan is from Shevet Asher, which would put him all the way up north. Why? Because he's the only tribe missing. If I fill in the blank of Beit Lechem of Asher as Shevet of Ifzan from Shevet Asher, then my list of Shoftim really does span the spectrum of all the tribes of Israel. Now take a look at the second chart, which now begins to exist for us. Right, that was the one that I said before doesn't exist. If you take a look at the two charts, the one on the right is a list of all the Shoftim, assuming Chazal's identity. Sorry. I'm showing you the wrong page.
Yeah.
was looking at your
yeah, my notes.
Right?
That's my notes. Here, go back to this chart. On the right-hand side, you have the division as appears in the Medrash with some minor modifications. Yiftach could easily be from Reuven or from Gad, so I put him down kind of for both. Shimon doesn't have a shofet. Levi have Eli and Shmuel. Yehuda, Otniel ben Knaz, according to Chazal, I have Yiftami ben Lechem, so I have two shoftim from Yehuda automatically. Besides the fact that Yiftzan and Boaz are both in Bet Lechem, I also have Otniel ben Knaz from Shevet Yehuda. The Medrash. I'm going to show you the modification in a moment. Dan is Shimshon, Naphtali is Barak, Gad is Yiftach, Asher is a blank, Yisachar is Tola ben Pur, Zvulun is Elon, Ephraim of Don ben Hillel, Menashe west is Gidon, Menashe east, Ya'ir Giladi, and Binyamin is Eyub ben Ger. But I'm missing Asher, and Yehuda ends up with two, if not three, shoftim. According to this Chiddush of Rav Yoel, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda now only has one shofet, namely Otniel ben Knaz. Dan is Shimshon, Naphtali is Barak, Gad is Yiftach, Asher is Yiftzami Bet Lechem. And everything smooths out. So that is the possibility. Of course, to do that, I have to lose the link between Yiftzan and Boaz, which may impact our understanding of Sefer of Megillat Rut. But that's for another conversation. We still have one more unit to do on this. These minor shoftim, I want to talk about the children, the donkeys in the cities, and Chavot Yair. And then we're going to start our study of Yiftach.